It's good to be here with you this evening. We'll be continuing and building on the truths we've been learning in Galatians 1 and 2, brought to us through God's Word and taught by Nick the last 2 weeks. It's been fantastic. Great time with our growth group talking about what we've been learning. And tonight, we continue in Galatians 3. And to start, we're going to read most of the first half of Galatians 3, if you'd like to turn there with me, and I will read it. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Skipping down to verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Heavenly Father, help us to see your truth more clearly today. Only you and your Spirit can help us see. Give us clarity today. Help us to hear your truth and be changed by your promises, your Spirit, your gospel, by faith, just like Abraham. Help us to understand again today. Amen. Our thesis, or main point for the day, this evening, is this. The gospel is promised by God, fulfilled by Christ, confirmed by the Spirit. If we look to anything else for confirmation or comfort of our salvation, we are believing a false gospel, and we are just like the Galatians. Paul is passionate in this book. He's passionate in chapter 3. Nick used the word combative. Paul's upset. He's perplexed. Paul is hurting for his friends and church family in Galatia. He's saying, "You know these things are true. Why are you now walking over here? Galatians, you know this, but you're doing that. What are you thinking? How could you be so foolish? This is a matter of life and death, Galatians. Wake up." Today we'll see Paul's passionate. We'll talk about that. We're going to look at these. There's some assumed knowledge of God's promises. Paul's assuming the Galatians have some knowledge of God's promises. We're going to look over that. We'll compare the law versus the promise. And we're going to understand the results of a false gospel and conclude with applications for us. First thing we should see here is Paul demonstrating that God's truth is worthy of passion. God's truth is worthy of passion. Like Paul, the thing we think about most, talk about most, and get most worked up about and live our lives for should be the truths of God, the gospel, not politics, not our jobs or finances or hobbies, not what others think of us, that's the fear of men, not even our own kids or our spouse should be the main thing that we get fired up about. Our obvious passion should be a growing fire for God's truth. And this is something we can ask God to give us. We just sang about it. God, give us a spirit that desires you. Pray for passion and a growing desire for his truth. This is like an early application. Pray for passion and a growing desire for his truth. God will answer this genuine prayer. And when we see even a small spark in us, we should give God praise because it is his work, not ours. It is his spirit. And we should fan it into a roaring flame. Like Paul tells Peter, or Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. Fan it into a flame. And as we will see, this passion and desire in us, just like the Galatians, is the evidence and guarantee of the gospel in our lives. Throughout chapter 3 of Galatians, Paul is making assumptions about what the Galatians already know. Paul knows what they know. He knows, and he's reminding them. It's also important to note, these are not new believers. They know these things. Paul knows they know, and they know Paul knows. Look, they all know. They all know these things. Verse 7 starts, "Know then." There's an assumption here. What is it that the Galatians know? What is it? Assumptions of knowledge Paul is making in Galatians throughout the whole book, and it's particularly in Galatians 3. There's three of them here. Promise is of God, not man. That's one of them. That should sound familiar. Nick brought that to us, I think, week one. Promises of God. Promise is of God, not man. The promise is started, completed, and guaranteed through the Spirit, not flesh. And third, the promise is fulfilled in Christ. That's the gospel. By faith, not works of the law. So three things. The promise is of God, not man. Promise is completed through the Spirit. And the promise is fulfilled in Christ. Where are these promises? Where is Paul making these assumptions in the chapter? If it's me, I want to see it. Well, let's look. Nearly 10 times, Paul uses the word promise in Galatians 3. And we're going to look at all of them. So the first one, I'm going to read through. Where does Paul mention the promise? Verse 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Fast forward. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. Verse 17. The law, fast forward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. Verse 18. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. 19. The law was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. Verse 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Verse 22. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And last, verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. All right, that's a lot to hear, a lot to consume. But what is Paul talking about? There's a clear contrast here between the law and the promise, which we're going to get to. But first, I want to review this assumption of knowledge Paul's making. What are the promises he's talking about? Let's look at some specific promises of God to which Paul is referring. So again, a lot of scripture we're going to go through here. I'm going to be flipping back to the books of Moses in the Old Testament and the New Testament and the prophets. If you want to flip back and forth and you want to challenge yourself, it's going to be a lot. Feel free. But also, just listen and receive is fine as well. So again, we're looking at some specific promises of God to which Paul is referring here. First, Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. And these are, I believe these are in your notes as well. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, who was later known as Abraham, in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Down to verse 5. And he brought him outside, and the Lord said to him, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then the Lord said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. A lot of us are very familiar with this, and so were the Galatians. Very familiar with this. A couple things jump out to me. Number one, we just read this in Galatians 3:6. And this is the gospel. And Paul quotes this. He says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteous. This is Galatians 3:6, quoting this from Genesis 15. Also, what does it sound like? Counted it to him as righteousness. Counted it to him as righteousness. Does that sound familiar? Have we been reading that? It's right. This is number three. He counted as, this is the gospel right here. The God giving it to Abraham. But Paul is reminding the Galatians of the promise of a nation. This is the promise of a nation. This is the promise of God, not man. It's the promise of God, not man. What do I mean by that? Well, Sarah, his wife, was old, and she didn't have any kids. She couldn't. She was barren, the Bible says. And it's interesting, immediately following this, or soon after, in chapter 16, what did Abraham do, or Abram? Well, in verse 16, like the Galatians, he tried to add to God's promise. He tried to help God fulfill his promise. He tried to add to the gospel. He took his wife's servant and had a son. Trying to, oh, maybe this is how you're going to do it, God. God said, no. Abram, I promised. I will do it. This promise is mine, not yours. And Abram's, his barren 90-year-old wife had a son. It's of God, not of man. This is the promise of a nation Paul's referring to in Galatians. And by the way, one reason Paul takes so much time, I think, in chapter 1 and 2, and Nick went over this also, is to be clear that the truth he received came directly from God. This is in the of God, not man category. Paul didn't confirm the truth with anyone for 14 years. Why? Because Paul was showing the Galatians his truth is God's, not man's. The Apostle Paul received it directly from Christ. Second promise, also from Genesis, which is one of the five books of Moses, Genesis 18, verses 17 through 18. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations on earth shall be blessed by him. Paul reminds the Galatians of the promise to bless all nations through Abraham. This is referenced in all kinds of places throughout the Bible, from the New Testament, in Ephesians, from that the Apostle Paul wrote, Ephesians 2, verses 19 and 20. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. How are we members of the household of God? We share in the promise to Abraham through Christ. That's how. Also, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 2:10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, and now you have received mercy. You weren't a people, but now you are a people. How? Through Christ, through the promise of Abraham. And in our passage, Galatians 3, verses 7 and 9, know then, we already read this, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. All the nations be blessed. Again, Paul's quoting this from Genesis. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So, again, Paul's reminding the promise of a nation, the promise to bless all nations. And third, Paul reminds the Galatians of the promise of the Spirit. Galatians 4, 6, which Ian will talk about next week. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Also in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Again, the promise of the Spirit. Two other references from the prophets in the Old Testament. The prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The promise of the Spirit. Also, the prophet Joel, Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, even on the male and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on male and female servants. God gives the promise of a spirit to all people, which Paul references later in our chapter 3, 27, 28, when he talks about neither slave nor free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all offspring, heirs according to promise. And last thing we'll reference in these three promises, Galatians 3, 14, which we already read, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The promise of a nation, the promise to bless all nations, the promise of the Spirit. The Galatians knew these things. In summary, Paul is reminding the Galatians that the promise is of God, not man, to make a nation and to bless all nations through Abraham, completed and guaranteed by the promised Spirit. And this is what Paul is reminding the Galatians about, what he's passionate about. They know these things. Where's the gospel? Where's the gospel here? Let's look at, again, Luke 24, 44 through 45, I guess through 49 maybe, that we read earlier to start the service. This is the promise fulfilled in Christ. Luke 24, starting in verse 44. Then he said to them, again, this is Jesus talking, right at the very, very, very tail end of Luke, the book of Luke. Jesus says, these are my words and that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, just looked at a couple of them, and the prophets, which we just looked at, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance of the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. That's the Spirit. The law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, all scripture, all fulfilled in Christ. It is God's promise fulfilled in Christ, and God's promise revealed and completed in us through the Spirit. Again, this is the end of the Gospel of Luke. In the next verses, Jesus blesses the apostles and he ascends into heaven. With his last words, Jesus says, all of God's promises, all of his word is fulfilled in me. And Jesus says, you know God's promises, the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms. I did it all. And you will see and know because I will open your mind and you'll receive the promised Holy Spirit. Stay here until he comes. All God's promises, fulfilled in Christ, completed in the Spirit. Again, his final words to the apostles are, I fulfilled everything. I will open your minds to see. Jesus reminds them of the gospel, right here, reminds them of the gospel, suffered and rose, repentance of sins, and I'm sending the Spirit to help you. Stick around. You want to stick around for this, is what he's saying. Listen, this is awesome. This is everything. Christ has done it. It's finished. And then in Galatians, Paul's saying, hey, you know this. You all know this. Paul's saying, we labored together to betray these truths. You believed and you experienced the gift of the Spirit in you, just like Jesus said in Luke 24. The Galatians know these things, and they know because the Spirit has given them sight, just like in Luke 24. And now you're adding to it? What can you add to all God's work? All his truth fulfilled in Christ. What do you not understand about everything from Luke 24:44? You think more is required than Christ who fulfilled everything? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What are you doing? Where are you going? What do you think you can add? Can't you see these other things are from man and not God? Christ fulfilled everything, all the law. And now the Galatians are going back to the law in order to find confirmation and comfort in their salvation. Here's the truth. I know that my Redeemer lives. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. What comfort this assurance gives. Glory, hallelujah. That's it. What brings the comfort? I know my Redeemer lives. Back to our main point. The gospel is promised by God, fulfilled by Christ, confirmed by the Spirit. If we look to anything else for confirmation or comfort in our salvation, we are believing a false gospel, and we're just like the Galatians. Paul also reminds the Galatians about the law. What is the law? Well, the law is a curse. If you accept a little law for justification, you must complete the entire law for justification. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Galatians 5:9. No one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. God promised. He does not need our works, the law, to complete his promise. God promised. He doesn't need our works to complete his promise. And we know this. Think about even a very simple promise. If I promise to bring you lunch tomorrow, but then I require you to drive me there, you have to pay for it, you walk in and get it, and you drive me back to your house, what's the purpose of the promise? If I require those things, the promise to bring you lunch is completely worthless and pointless. The promise only has value if I pay the cost and do the work to fulfill it. How much more with God's promises? How much more with God's promises? He promised. He will and has done it all. The work, the law, or the works have no part in this promise. Paul is again reviewing this truth in the last half of chapter 3. He says, why the law at all then? Okay, if the law has no point in the promise, what? Why? Why the law? Verse 19 says that. If by promise, why this list of things we have to do? Paul answers, because until the promise came, until all was fulfilled, the nation needed protection. Well, protection from what? Well, without truth, we are doomed. Without knowledge of what pleases God, we are lost. Without order, we always, always stray to chaos. The nation that he promised, the nation that he's going to bless us through, the nation needed the law while we waited for faith to come in Christ Jesus. And the nation needed the law to show that we cannot please God on our own. But the Galatians were turning back to this impossible law, this curse, as confirmation and comfort of their salvation. Specifically, for the Galatians, it was circumcision. The Galatians did believe the gospel, and they heard and saw people teaching and living in a way that suggested, yes, the gospel. Christ has done it all. And do this good thing from the law. That is confirmation of a true believer. That is what gives me comfort of my salvation. The gospel plus some healthy and reasonable practices. What's wrong with that? The law was good. I mean, the law gets a bad rap, right? But the law was good. The law kept people safe. Literally safe from health hazards, among other things. Circumcision has benefits. Washing hands before meal, another part of the law, has benefits. Not eating shrimp was a protection from getting sick. That's part of the law. But because of God's promise, fulfilled in the gospel, it is not a requirement, nor is it confirmation or a comfort of true faith in the gospel. And again, if you live in a way that suggests that God needs help from you, fulfilling his promises, or adds to his promises, you're in trouble. You're living a false gospel. Three things result from living and believing a false gospel. Three things. One, trust in God stops where trust in the law starts. You can't serve two masters. If you add to the gospel, you will not and do not trust God and his promises. Number one, trust in God stops where trust in the law starts. Two, others become your standard. If you believe in a false gospel, others become your standard. There will be bondage to comparison and fear of men. And three, if you believe in a false gospel, you will not grow and change, nor produce fruits of the Spirit. All right. What can this look like in our community? It's hard to see, I think. Rob and I spent some time thinking through, what are we tempted to add to the gospel? What do we turn to for comfort and confirmation outside of the freedom of the one gospel? I think it likely that the Galatians didn't stray on purpose. They didn't scheme to add wrong thinking and wrong living to the gospel. Hey, let's wait till Paul leaves, and we're going to add the stuff. I don't think that's what happened. They thought they were doing the right thing. They couldn't see it. Can we? We believe the gospel. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. And you can really tell this belief is held firm when a family homeschools their kids. Do we think this is true? Is homeschooling confirmation and comfort of our salvation? Homeschooling is amazing. It's a huge blessing to my family and many or most of you. But is it a requirement? Is it confirmation and comfort of true belief in the gospel? Well, we believe the gospel is of God, not man. And it's also required that parents and their kids avoid watching certain media and movies. Certainly Disney, right? Because then you can really tell they're serious. That proves it. Christ is sufficient. And you really know when someone votes conservative. Yeah, that's confirmation. Growth is confirmed when a man starts carrying. That's when you know. The gospel and stay-at-home moms only. That's when our faith really hits the road, a vine, a branch. Salvation is evident when family meetings happen regularly. Then, welcome. Have comfort in your salvation because of your works. Or gospel and not chewing tobacco. Or gospel and not drinking beer. Or gospel and the freedom to drink beer. That's when you know. Look, we can go down this road and it become nearly comical, the ridiculous things people are tempted to add to the gospel. But church, the Apostle Peter was concerned about what others thought of his religious activities. Nick talked about this last week. The Apostle Peter, he found comfort and confirmation in the fear of men. Peter strayed. Abraham strayed. Barnabas strayed. The Galatians strayed. We are at risk. Of course we are. If you judge the sincerity of your faith based on what you do, in particular in comparison to others, you are living under the law. You're adding to the gospel. Let me say that again. If you judge the sincerity of your faith based on what you do, you are living under the law. You're adding to the gospel. Friends, these things I mentioned, they're lies. They're false gospels. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our ideas. He doesn't need our works or our efforts to fulfill his promises. He promised. Christ fulfilled all. The Spirit confirms and completes the promise in us. The gospel is promised by God, fulfilled by Christ, confirmed in the Spirit. We can't add anything. There's nothing else that is our confirmation or comfort. There's no room for our good intentions, for our required healthy living, or man's confirmation. It's done. It's complete. It is finished. The way we gain confidence and comfort for ourselves is not looking to the good standards of others or our good works, but Christ's work for you. This is the gospel. He fulfilled it all. How can you tell when we are straying back to the law? Because the things I listed, they're good things, right? I mean, homeschool, controlling media for your kids, stay-at-home moms, family meetings, healthy life choices. Obviously, these are amazing things. And even gifts from God and a part of kingdom building. How can I tell when I've strayed? When these things become the standard of righteousness by which you judge yourself, family, and others. In other words, when you add to the gospel, it looks like this. It looks like enmity. It looks like strife. It looks like jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. That's a list from Galatians 5:20 and 21. There's other things listed there. Do you see these things in you? Do you see these things in your family? Do you see these things in our community? If so, warning. Wake up, Galatians. A false gospel is among you. Okay, you might say, I do see these things. I see some anger. I see jealousy. I see rivalries and dissension. But now what? Well, confess. Confess that you believe in a false gospel and turn to God's gospel. God's gospel gives freedom from these fruits of the flesh. Turn to his promises. Know then, Christ has fulfilled the promise. Fan into flames the spirit within you that confirms you are a son and heir to the kingdom. A couple things in application. When you see the fruits of the flesh, four things. Like I just said, confess and turn back to the gospel. Two, and this has been a theme. It should always be a theme. Read and know the word of God. How do you know you're straying if you don't know what's true? You got to be in the word. Three, preach the gospel daily to yourself, your family, and your community. How do you do that? We'll start by memorizing this. That's what we're doing here. Think about the gospel. Pray about the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. Preach the gospel daily to yourself, your family, your community. Number four, expect progress, not perfection. Expect progress, not perfection. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Do not expect perfect, but do expect progress. Look, we all have the desires of the flesh in us. Sin is present in all of us. But through the gospel and his Spirit in us, we should see less strife and more love. Less fits of anger and more joy. Less division and more peace. We should expect to see these things if we believe the truth and his Spirit is in us. Expect progress, not perfection. Rob says, forward, not perfect. Praise God, there is hope. Look, from the moment God gave the promise to Abraham, man has tried to add to it. This is not new, but he is faithful. He is sufficient. He will not leave us or forsake us. Teach yourself the gospel daily. Without his order, chaos, sin, and death is certain. With his order, faith and life everlasting is given. Before we close, I want to step back and consider again what Paul's doing here. Paul loves this Galatian church. Paul spent time with them. He lived with them and worked with them. They had community together. They still did when Paul wrote this, even though he wasn't with them. And together they learned the gospel and saw it confirmed among them. The Spirit of truth was with them. Church, it's the same for us. It's the same. We live together. We are a community together. We learn the gospel together. It is confirmed by us, by the Spirit in us. There is confirmation of this truth all around this community. It's all around us. Think about the time of baptisms just last week. Think about it. There is a comfort in confirmation, such as in Lisa's story. She shared with us last week. Her eyes were opened, and she saw the truth, and she was changed. Just like happened to Paul, just like happened to the Galatians, just like Abraham, just like me. When the Salisburys first came here, I grew up in the church, but I heard the gospel new. Something changed in me. Truth was revealed. My eyes were opened. I turned from sin, and change happened in me, in my marriage, in my family. That's the Spirit. That is His work. We have comfort in the gospel confirmed among us also by the obvious growth and passion visible in the Isaac family. We had Ben, we had Andrew, we had Holly up here last week. By growth we see in the Warford family and in Ella last week. In Remy Porter and the Porter family. It's confirmed by growth and excitement shared when our growth group gathers to talk about the Word. That is the Spirit that stirs in us. God is doing amazing things. It is His work. You know it. We know it. Christ is King. His Spirit is alive among us. We believe in the gospel, and look what Christ has done. And I know because of the Spirit's work in me. Even a sinner like me. I deserve wrath, but God promised. Christ did the work. The Spirit is completing the work in me. And in nothing else can my confidence and comfort be found. For His glory and our joy. There is one gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It is my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me. Oh, what a gospel! Oh, what a peace! My highest joy and my deepest need. Now and forever, He is my light. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.